reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey and I have nothing to offer him.' He says in reply from within, 'Don't bother me. The door has already been locked and my children and I are already in bed. I can't get up to give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And so I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door is opened to. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asked for a fish? Or hand him a scorpion when he asked for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. The beginning of the first reading from the prophet Malachi, we have that dialogue that goes on. It's prophetic dialogue, and it encapsulates the type of conversation that often happens between God and us if we had the ears to hear that. "You have defied me in words," says the Lord, "yet you ask, 'What have we spoken against you? What have I done, Lord?' I haven't done anything really wrong, have I?" And God says, "You have said, 'It's vain to serve God. What do we profit from keeping his command, going about in penitential dress in awe of the Lord?'" And then you begin to idolize the impious, the proud, the evildoers, those who tempt God with impunity. Many of us, as a matter of fact, do think that the real worship of the Lord is vain. I remember when I was telling some folks that I was entering the seminary, how many people, and I'm sure the sisters can echo this, said to us in response, "You're wasting your life. Why would you ever think about doing that? You can sort of still get into heaven by keeping a minimal commitment to the Lord. Why would you give your whole life over to God?" They think that it's a waste, literally vain, to do that. Probably daily Mass goers, 7 o'clock Mass, you have probably heard more than once, "You know, why do you get up so early? You could sleep later. What sense does it make to get out and go to daily Mass? It's an empty pursuit." And instead, rather than seeking the saints, rather than seeking to accord ourselves with the Gospels, to reading the encyclicals, what do? People flip through People magazine. They start watching various of the television programs and start saying, "Why can't I be like that woman who's had 5 husbands or that actor or that singer who lives this type of lifestyle?" Rather than saying, "Why can't I be more like Christ?" This dialogue does occur over and over again. In the responsorial psalm, it puts right in front of us the choice that each of us needs to make in life, of where we're going to be rooted, whether we're going to be rooted in Christ or rooted in something else. "Blessed the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of insolent, but delights in the Lord's law, meditates on it day and night." Who is he? He's like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit always, and never, whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers, not necessarily in the eyes of those who can't see in this world. It's not necessarily going to make a bank account enlarged, but will profit eternally. At the end of every Mass, I walk in with the altar boys before the crucifix, and we have a little dialogue. The priest says, "Prosit." And the boys say? They could do a little bit better at that this morning. Every once in a while, you have to make sure they're paying attention. Pro omnibus et singulis, prosit. May it be profitable. May it be helpful. And they say, for each and every one of us. To be planted in that running water. Whatever we do prospers in the Lord, draws us close. But there's another type of choice we can make. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff which the wind drives away. They've got no roots. They're not planted near the running water, as Jesus would say in that parable of the sower and the seed. As soon as the sun comes up, they get scorched and they wither. What's it going to be for us? Today, we celebrate in the church two saints, one blessed and one saint, who show us the path that the Lord wishes for us. Blessed Marie-Rose de Rocher. She was born 200 years ago today. She died 1,862 years ago today. She was born and she died on October 6th. She was a person who at a very young age was attractive, was popular. She could have married very early. But she wanted to give herself wholly and entirely to the Lord. After her mother died, she made the choice to care for her father. Her brother was an oblate of Mary Immaculate priest, so went with the father in order to be able to care for the things of the rectory there in a missionary year of Quebec at the time. There she felt a real need to serve those who were uneducated, but she needed to wait until things were capable with her father of being able to give herself totally and entirely to this mission. And beginning in 1843, just 6 years before she would die at 38, she began the School Sisters of the Holy Names of Jesus and Mary. And one of her spiritual daughters said that there were three things that characterized her life and the life of the sisters. First was prayer, insistent prayer, like we see Jesus praise in the gospel today. Somebody would knock all night long to get the prayers heard, not just their own prayers, but the prayers of the young people they were serving. The second was penance. There's real penance to their life. And her spiritual daughter said in an article about her, "This is one of the things that is so dépassé. Why would we mortify? Why would we do personal sacrifices today? How vain is that life?" We could go back to the prophet Malachi. Going about in penitential dress. Why would you be doing any penance at all? Because the modern world doesn't really think you need to do penance and reparation. And they did. And the third was charitable service. That they would put themselves totally for the sake of the kingdom, trying to be Jesus' heart, loving people in 19th century Quebec. That was a life that was planted firmly in the running water, the living water that flows from Jesus' wounded side. What a great example she gives us. Same thing with the saint that the church celebrates throughout the universal church, Saint Bruno, the founder of the Carthusians, the one religious order, the Carthusian says, that has never needed to have a reform because it has always maintained its charism. It's probably the most brutal type of Christian life, where you go away, basically living in a cell all by yourself within a larger community for which you come together to pray. But that is a life in which, in the eyes of the world, everything's wasted. Sometimes family members cry when somebody goes away because they know they're not really going to see him. And the solace that the monk is going to be praying for them day or night is not enough. The solace that this monk is on a path that will lead to heaven, and if they lead a path to heaven on the outside, they'll be reunited forever, is not enough. It's considered vain in the eyes of the world, but incredibly fruitful. And it is that life of persistent prayer, persistent penance, persistent charity in praying for the world, in setting a witness for the world, that again, it bears fruit and it prospers. Prospers like Bruno's life prospered into eternity. Today, as we come forward, we ask Blessed Marie Rose and Saint Bruno to intercede for us, that we might pray like this importune friend in the gospel, that we might boldly ask, seek, and knock, that we might plant ourselves evermore in Christ and bear the fruit that will last into eternity as branches on the vine.